Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage concerns Peter preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to a Roman centurion and his kinsmen. Some call this account Gentile Pentecost, because for the first time, God poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit on a group of Gentiles. Most of us listening to this message are spiritual offspring of what the Lord did on that day. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 10 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 1 through 33.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. It says it right in the scripture. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, who gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. We know that he was stationed at Caesarea, that was the headquarters of the government of Palestine. And the parallel to the centurion in our military organization would be a sergeant or a major. And these centurions were actually the backbone of the Roman army. Now, we note here in these first two verses that Cornelius, of course, is a Gentile. He fears God. He gave to those who were in need. And he was a man in prayer. When the Bible says that he feared God, it was a term that was used to describe a Gentile who attached themselves to Judaism, but chose not to undergo formal conversion, which would have included circumcision and public immersion. Interesting individual we have here. Typical of so many people that you and I meet every day. And for all those individuals who believe that they are going to heaven because they are good people who believe in God, give money to the church, help those in need, I want us to note this morning that Cornelius was a moral and a religious man, but he wasn't saved until he believed that he was a sinner who could only find salvation and have his sins forgiven by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus had an encounter with a teacher of Israel by the name of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He was a rabbi. He was a man who believed in God. He was a teacher. He prayed always. And Jesus said to him, like he would say to you and me today, unless a man is born again, he or she will not see or enter the kingdom of God. And so here is Cornelius. And in verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, which would be 3 p.m., an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. It's interesting that in the book of Acts, we read that God gave visions to Ananias, to Peter, to Paul, to Cornelius. On the day of Pentecost, we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And so here is this angel here meeting with Cornelius. And when he looked on him, that's when Cornelius looked on the angel, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. A question. Why didn't God just have the angel preach the gospel to Cornelius? And the biblical answer is because God has commissioned men, not angels, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. That's the commission of the church. That's you and me. That's our responsibility. Dr. Jack Arnold wrote, quote, "Peter, as a good religious Jew, would have nothing to do with a tanner. But after Peter's conversion and the tanner's conversion, Peter had to set aside his Jewish traditions and prejudices and stay with the tanner as a brother in Christ. This experience was preparatory for Peter, who would have to overcome the greatest Jewish prejudice of all, which was to accept the Gentile. God was helping Peter come to grips with his prejudices so he could be an effective witness for Jesus Christ." And that is true. I want you to note here that God knew where Cornelius lived, and he knew where Peter lived. And he knows where you live. And he knows what you do inside of the house where you live. He knows everything about you. And so the angel which spake unto Cornelius when he departed, Cornelius called, here in verse 7, two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared these things to them, he sends them to Joppa. Verse 9, on the morrow or the next day, as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop, a flat roof, very common there in the Middle East, to pray about the sixth hour, so it's about noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. Now, I like that. Peter starts praying and he begins to think, what's for lunch? You ever do that? Any of you ever start praying and then you begin to think, what's for lunch? Does my car need to be inspected? Things like that. It's amazing how, have a pen and a piece of paper when you start praying, because you'll find that those distractions may remind you of something that you need to do. And it will help you and I be more efficient. So here it is. He's praying about the sixth hour. He's hungry and he would have eaten. But while they were cooking the food, making ready, he fell into a trance. It's interesting that the Greek word for trance there is actually ecstasy. And it speaks of when a person is displaced from their ordinary state of mind into an elevated, God-given state. And so now Peter is being transported. He's forgetting now all about being hungry, we can say. And now he's captivated. He's in this different realm. And it's all designed by God. And notice, and he saw in verse 11, heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." I had a funny experience many years ago before Koinonia was formed. Myself and two other brothers would go to Groveland Correctional Facility and do a Sunday morning Bible study. And many of you know, who have been here for a while, that sometimes I get words twisted. So I'm teaching from Acts chapter 1, and my two colleagues are in the back of the hall where all of the inmates are. And I said with passion, "The Lord said, rise, killer, Pete Neat." And so these guys are going like this. So being the spirit-filled man that I am, I'm thinking, do it again. Rise, killer, Pete Neat. Well, that's when I was told that I had misspoke. Not a good place to misspeak those words. But they were very gracious. They were very gracious. So here's Peter. He gets this vision. And he's told to eat something that he would never have thought of eating. Peter said, not so, Lord. Now that's a contradiction, isn't it? To say, not so, Lord. It should be, yes, you can say not, and you can say Lord, but you can't say not so, Lord. And so here he says, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now, Peter knows that he is getting this message from above. He knows it. And he says, I've never eaten anything impure or defiled. And he's shocked. And he's protesting that he was commanded to rise, kill, and eat this food that was not kosher. Well, what's he talking about? Well, the Jews had strict dietary food laws. You find them recorded in Leviticus chapter 11. And generally speaking, the Jew might eat only animals which chewed the cud, but whose hoofs were cloven. All others were unclean and forbidden. And Peter indicates that he has never eaten anything that was common or unclean. If you compare Peter's not so, Lord, response to the voice from heaven, sounds a lot to me like the Pharisee in the temple in Luke 18, who thought that he was right in the sight of God because of what he didn't do. You see, a moralist or a legalist, like the Pharisees, tend to be proud, self-righteous, and judgmental of others because they think that a person's sins are forgiven and they are right in the sight of God because of the things that they do not do. I don't eat pork. I don't do this. I don't do that. And Peter thought eating this non-kosher food, he would be defiling himself. Have you ever forgotten passages of scripture? Anybody? Yeah. Well, you remember when there was an account in the Gospels where the disciples were accused of eating something with unclean, you know, they didn't wash their hands. And they were talking about being defiled because they didn't go through some religious defilement process, you know, anti-defilement process. Jesus said, it is not that which goes into a man which defiles him, but that which comes out of the mouth, that defiles the man. And so Jesus, no doubt, has been instructing these men about religious taboos that he was going to save people from. How many of you know that you and I can be bound by incorrect or faulty religious traditions or teachings? Sometimes it takes a while, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul would write in 1 Timothy 4:4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Peter is not convinced. And so in verse 15, the voice spoke unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done three times. How many times does the Lord have to deal in threes with Peter? And the vessel was received up into heaven. Now, Lord willing, next Sunday, we will see in verse 34 that this triple vision was intended to show Peter that God is not a respecter of persons, and that he was to readily accompany the men who were sent by Cornelius to his house. And again, you and I have no idea the hostility that existed between the Jews and the Gentiles at this particular point in time. Strict Jews believed that God had no use for the Gentiles. I had a dear friend of mine, still is a dear friend of mine, Jonathan Bernice, who told me one time, tongue in cheek, Ramey, that's what he used to call me, Ramey. God created Gentiles for retail. That was a good way of him expressing it. And that's true, but this was extremely hostile. You have no idea how bad it was. Sometimes the Jews even went the length of saying that help must not be given to a Gentile woman in childbirth, because that would only be to bring another Gentile into the world. But God has called Peter to be the instrument through whom the gospel is going to be preached to the Gentiles, and he had to be delivered from religious legalism, from self-righteous moralism, from national racism. He had to be delivered by those things. And you and I, as we walk with the Lord, there are things that we hold on to that we may not think we're holding on to, that may hinder us from ministering to some people. We may have some people that we write off in our hearts and our minds right now. And God, to make us witnesses for Christ, whose feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we must be prepared to go wherever he tells us to go, to whomever he tells us to go, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Peter, in verse 17, he doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. And behold, the men who were sent from Cornelius had made an inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And so here they arrive. And while Peter thought on the vision, notice very carefully, Bible students, the Spirit said unto him, the Holy Spirit spoke to him, behold, three men seek thee, arise therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Remember the vision? Rise, Peter, not killer, Peter, kill and eat. And now the Spirit of God, notice, the Spirit said. You see, the Holy Spirit is not an inanimate energy or force. He's a person. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. There's a person within the Trinity who is here speaking to Peter and giving him specific instructions regarding God's will for him, and to tell him why these men from Cornelius's house have come. How many of you know that the Spirit of God still speaks to his children today? In Acts chapter 8, verse 29, it was the Spirit that gave instructions and directions to Philip. The Spirit of God still speaks, still directs, still guides his people. We want to be a Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, Spirit-guided congregation and people, don't we? We don't want to be motivated by programs. We want to be Spirit-led, Spirit-guided, Spirit-filled in all that we do. And so Peter now goes down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause for you coming? Dr. Ed Hinson wrote, he is the editor of the KJV Commentary Bible, and while Peter doubted what he had seen in the vision, nevertheless, he had no time to dwell on that doubt. Immediately, the representatives of Cornelius appeared at Simon's house, standing before the gate and inquiring whether or not Peter lodged there. The apostle was still on the roof in a trance, but what he had learned was soon to be practiced. God is not looking for a debate from Peter. He's looking for obedience. That's a word in season, isn't it? When God commands you or me to do something that we don't understand, or seems contrary to something that we believe to be taboo or doesn't make sense to the natural mind, remember this, beloved, in such cases, God is not looking for a debate. He's looking for obedience. Peter, walk on water. I can't. Obey. Learn to obey. And from this we learn that for those of us who are Christian, God may ask us to do something that perhaps is unusual or a little bit different or outside of our comfort zone. Has that ever happened to any of you? I remember when our grandkids were smaller, there was one day that Lizzie had them all drawing at our kitchen table. All seven of them. And they're drawing, and you know, for them, they think that they are Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo. And they're coloring all outside of the lines and everything, and I'm just shaking my head. How was it, Papa? Oh, that's beautiful, that's beautiful. And the Spirit of God says to me, Raymond, never be surprised when I color outside of your lines. Okay. God is going to do it. If he hasn't yet, he will. He will bring individuals into your life that you may not think you have a problem with. But that old prejudice, that old racism, that old taboo, that old erroneous view of Scripture is going to be brought to bear. We all have to learn how to be sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the leading of God within the parameter of Scriptures. But when God tells you to do something, that's not the time for you to sit back and say, not so, Lord. It's yes, sir. And so they said, Cornelius, verse 22, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of these. Then called he them in and lodged them. So this is a huge thing for Peter. He's been taught never to have anything to do with them, and now he's inviting these Gentiles from the Italian band into his house. They're probably looking for gardoons or something to eat, right? But now, on the next day, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. So now there's other Jews. Peter's got to have a sidebar conversation with them. He's going to have to tell them, hey guys, God just appeared to me. Yeah. There's some men coming. They're Gentiles. There's a Roman soldier. They're probably thinking, oh boy. We're going to go on a journey to them. Now, they're probably thinking, I envision Peter's standing in the middle, and they got the Jews on the right or the left, or the Gentiles on the right and the left. They're probably looking at one another thinking, is this okay? Is this kosher? Well, certain brethren, we know from Acts 11, verse 12, that there were six of them. And the next day, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Bless the Lord,
O my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Sila, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.